Welcome, folks. We are back with Prior to the Snap. Thanks for joining us, episode 3. As you guys can probably hear, we've made some more upgrades to our studio here.
Thank God.
Yeah, man. We've got some, we got ourselves some better mics, some upgraded equipment. So we're very excited for that so we can bring you guys the show that you deserve. Prior to the Snap, of course, is us two bringing you all kind of information in the week of sports. And we are packed today. We have got a lot to talk about. As always, I got to show some love. Folks, don't forget, we are a podcast network. So you can listen to us, of course, on Spotify, on Amazon Music, on all major streaming outlets. We are currently streaming as well. If you go to our Facebook, you'll be able to click on the link so that you can find all the information on where we're playing on the radio as well. Just everything is out there. We are everywhere. Super proud of that. And I would be remiss if I did not mention, of course, Distracted Discussions is our other podcast in our podcast network. That one's a little bit more PG-13, sometimes rated R, probably some coarser language. So if you want to listen to that, you are more than welcome. We appreciate it. All part of the podcast network, Drama Llama Labs. And while I'm talking about it, let me not forget to mention our sponsor. That's right, Sugar Llama Westmore. You got to make your way down there to Sugar Llama Westmore, 15201 Southwestern. They're in Oklahoma City, technically, but you know how that goes. OKC, Moore, you know, it's right there on the dividing line. Get out there. They have some of the best drinks, snacks. They make amazing sausage rolls, frappuccinos, ice cream. Just pull them up and get out there, all right? But we got to show love to Sugar Llama. We're going to be giving away some great llama gear, too, here in the very near future. So stay tuned. There's going to be some other giveaways coming as well. I guess I'm going to put that out there right now. There's going to be some other giveaways because I am happy to announce that for those of you that knew, I was one of your hosts last year for the Oklahoma City Dodgers. We're going to talk about the Oklahoma City Dodgers in today's show. But I was one of your hosts for the Oklahoma City Dodgers last year. Of course, their name has changed, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, some other things later. But in doing that, I got to be on Bally Sports on many of the games, on television, holding a mic, having a ball with you guys. And I am now, I've made a transition. I will not be back with the Oklahoma City Baseball Club next year. Love them to death. I hope that whole Blue Crew has just a phenomenal time. Get out there and support them. I'm going to be with the Oklahoma Flying Aces Arena football team doing exactly the same thing. So I'll be carrying a mic around, having a great time, making sure you guys are excited and pumped up. I'm going to talk to you guys a lot more about the Aces as we go forward. Enid, Oklahoma, arena football is back in Central Oklahoma. Now, we've got all that out of the way. We got the bills paid. It is time for us to dive into some sports. Let's talk about Jim Harbaugh. Jim Harbaugh has taken the job with the, I had to pause.
San Diego Chargers.
I guess it's all in how you look at it. He's going back to Los Angeles for the Los Angeles.
No, he's going to Los Angeles, yeah, not back.
Fair. He's going to Los Angeles to be with the Chargers.
Close
and
enough.
I am so horribly rude. The other voice that you hear is the amazing, outstanding, always searched for, never duplicated, Cassie.
Oh, that's a lot.
Cassie, how are you doing?
That is a lot. That's a lot coming on.
It is.
Oh.
How are
that
you?
That was a lot. I'm good.
Good.
I'm good.
Good. Good. Okay, so back to Jim. So Jim Harbaugh, he's out there. I'll tell you, one of the things that really got me about Jim Harbaugh and what's going on is I learned that, you know, he's super excited. He's having a lot of meetings, obviously, with Spanos and a lot of the folks out there. One of the things that he's been doing this week is he's been texting players, and not everybody's getting a text message. He's texting some of the key players, talking to them, you know, kind of about expectations for next season, how excited he is. And there are other folks that aren't hearing anything. So, what's your thought on the fact that there are some players
that's
that
a little concerning
for who?
Not for those players.
Yeah,
that's
Jim.
That's a little concerticus, Copernicus. I mean, you know, I am so that lady though. Like, if I would never do that. Like, I am totally the group chat girl. So, like, everybody is included. Everybody gets a hug. Isn't that terrible? Is that bad that I'm not that person?
Maybe a little bit. In Jim's case, I think he's just trying to flex a little bit, and I think he's trying to let some folks know that I'm not texting you because I'm not interested in your services.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't think that's how that works.
Apparently it does.
I mean, I get it, but I would love to know who it is that he's texting.
I would
who
also
he hasn't.
Love to know. I did hear some rumblings that there are some players that they're just not going to be able to keep that they need to keep.
They can't. There's a good reason for it, too.
I know there's a gentleman whose name starts with a K, first name with
Keenan
a K.
Keenan Allen. The two concerns were Keenan Allen and Joey Bosa.
Now,
those are the two concerns.
It's going to be interesting.
The other
to
concern
see.
Was the age of everybody on that team.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. And
because
look,
everybody's in their 30s and up, mm-hmm. except for a few people, and obviously Justin Herbert. But what a dichotomy.
Yeah.
How interesting.
Yeah.
So is that the idea that, I mean, I don't know who all salaries are ending, but.
Well, I know whose salary is pretty much eating up a lot of cap space right now.
That makes me sick. That makes me sick. I'm sorry. As a Chargers fan, knowing that Philip Rivers, I don't care what anybody says, Philip Rivers is a dark horse. I love that man. He's the best. And the fact that Philip Rivers could never get a contract anywhere near that, and Justin Herbert, who spends so much time being hurt, has nabbed up a $353 million contract is just wild.
Him.
Wild,
don't
bro. Makes no
him.
Sense. Absolutely not. Hard pass.
So, back on Jim Harbaugh real fast here. You know, Harbaugh owes Michigan $1.5 million for that buyout for breaking his contract with the program, this defection to the Bolts, if you will.
How does Dean Spanos afford that? Does a broke team afford that?
I mean, there's $250-some-odd million that's going to Justin Herbert. I mean, he's affording that.
$353 million.
I thought it was $200. It could
$353
be.
$353 million.
Right. Well,
you could have just, like, knocked me out when I heard
on
that.
Your arm. Oh, I know exactly Lord. What he makes. Don't ask me. I know what he made. Well, $1.5 million buyout, which obviously the Bolts are going to be perfectly fine with taking care of and paying. So, you know, they want him that bad. You know, the Chargers are poised to pay that sticker tag. And, you know, Jim Harbaugh is their guy. They want him. They believe that he's who they want to build around.
He is him.
He is apparently him. Now, I'm going to shift topics on you here to... Let's see. Steph Curry and Sabrina Ionescu are going to have a 3-point face-off at the All-Star game.
Oh, I think this is awesome. I think this is so awesome. There's someone else I would rather have been there female-wise, but that's okay.
Well,
I think it's awesome.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to be interested in getting your opinion, but let me kind of set the stage here. So the rules of the contest, we don't really know what all the rules are going to be. And I say that because, of course, you know, there's some differences in where the 3-point lines are on the court. So I don't know how that's going to be. I know that Thursday I had heard that Curry, he had kind of hinted at the possibility that he wasn't sure if it was still happening, kind of. But everything that I'm seeing, I'm actually looking right now as I talk to you, and it looks like this is still all in. I want to mention that WNBA stars have participated in NBA All-Star Weekend in the past, mostly in the celebrity game and the shooting stars competition. So none have participated in a 3-point contest, but Ionescu will get her chance to promote women's basketball on one of the NBA's biggest stages. So, you know, All-Star Weekend is scheduled from February 16th through the 18th in Indianapolis. So it's going to be really interesting to kind of see how that shakes out. Let me get your opinion on what I've said so far.
I think it's great. But if I go too far on this, I'm going to go down a whole tangent and down a whole cave of stuff. And I feel like that's probably not necessary.
Well, it will be necessary as we go through. I was going to say, I kind of have some notes, our little show outline going here, and there is a space for that.
Good.
As we go
I'm
further
glad.
Down, I think we're going to get a lot
I think it'll be great
that.
Just to have that. There's so many, you know, I had an experience on social media a few weeks ago, and I find... I was talking about Caitlin Clark and her skills. Mm-hmm. And how she is a phenomenal ball. Like, she's amazing. And somebody decided to come in and start dogging her. And I feel like so often in women's sports and, you know, professional-wise, especially, you know, professional basketball, women's professional basketball, there is no respect for these women. Absolutely not. It's like women's volleyball that men that just watch just so they see the short shorts. It's infuriating.
There's a lot of that.
Yeah. I mean, I know I went on a tangent about this last week too, but I'll be really excited to watch that. I will definitely pull up a seat for that.
Well, and hey, please don't feel bad about the tangent. I mean, these are things that have to be said. You know, there isn't always voices that are having these discussions. I think that's what makes this show so special is that we're willing to have some of these discussions and bring some of this stuff out to light. So I'm going to switch gears on you again because we have so much to get to. Joel Embiid dropped a 70-piece this week. So he finished with 70 points, 18 rebounds, 5 assists. That's never even happened in NBA history. You know, his words, I'm going to quote him here. He said it was just a great night. You know, I had it going. I mentioned a few times a lot of teammates were extremely unselfish and they kept giving me the ball and I just finished it. And, you know, in watching it back, I know I was on TikTok and I watched there was a video that somebody put together that showed every shot that he made. And it was amazing how many times he was fed the ball. It's weird. It was like watching the most unselfish, selfish basketball I'd ever seen. It was really, really interesting.
That says a lot about the team.
In what way?
That they were willing to just hand the ball off so that he could make that record.
Yeah.
Well, that's so special. I love that so much.
I don't know. It started that way initially, but as the points kept climbing and climbing, and I think as everybody realized what was happening, I think it turned into that.
Yeah, get your stuff, man. Get it.
Hey, that's what Kobe Bryant, he experienced that as well. It was one of his last games, and he scored a ton.
What is that goofy guy's name? I'm so bad with names. The quarterback. And he's a hot mess. What is his name?
Oh, Jameis Winston.
Yeah. Wasn't that what happened with that touchdown pass? He wanted that one guy to get that first.
Correct.
Yes. Yeah. I love that. Yeah. That's great. I know he got in so much trouble, but that was amazing.
You know, you say trouble, but
I wish he would coach like high school football. He would be phenomenal. Dude, those kids would lose it for him.
Because he's not unhinged, but he's so silly, if you will.
I think that's what makes him wonderful.
You know.
Okay. Him and Cadillac together.
Oh, my word. I've been, so we talked about Cadillac Williams last week.
Where is Cadillac?
I've been checking every day. I checked before we came on the air today, and there's still no solid update. He left from Hugh Freeze and the program out there, and Cadillac's pretty much had his head down. I figured we'd seen him pop up as an assistant someplace, but there's been nothing. So really interested to see what happens.
Where he lands.
Yeah, it gave me a chance to kind of hop on TikTok and do a search, and I watched that speech that he gave, and just his passion is so beautiful. I love to see people that are so passionate. So Embiid, he finished it, again, over and over and over again, going 24 for 41 from the field, 21 for 23 from the foul line. Eventually, I mean, he reached 70 points when he went coast to coast for a layup over multiple defenders with a minute 41 seconds that was left in the game. He also had a season high 18 rebounds, 5 assists, 1 steal, 1 block, and just 1 turnover in 36 minutes. I mean, these numbers are insane. So we got to put some respect on his name. And I look forward to talking a little bit more about that because there's been a lot of big, big scoring games by one player over the last week, week and a half maybe. And I think I don't know if I even talked about Karl Anthony Towns yet. We'll get to him. That's probably last week, but that's one that needs to be discussed just because of kind of the way it happened. So at something really special. Let's talk about this right quick. Let's talk about SGA in the All-Star game. So we talked a little bit about Curry and the three-point contest. Curry has been a starter in the All-Star game for about a decade. I mean, just consistently, Steph Curry has been a starter. And this will mark the first year in, I think, 10 years. I want to say it's like 2014. I think it's the first year that he's not been a starter. And so, but SGA is in there. What a huge honor for the Oklahoma City Thunder. What a huge honor for Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. You guys see why we call him SGA around these parts. That's just outstanding. And so I'm beyond happy for him. It shows the maturation of SGA in this game. Also, it's not just fans that vote. You know, players vote as well. So that shows that SGA has quite a bit of respect around the league. That's a huge deal, you know, to be respected by your peers and for them to want to see you in the game, for them to kick in a vote for you. That's massive. I know that a lot of people, especially, again, here in Oklahoma, are probably beating their chests and they're excited like it's a win over Steph Curry, you know, because he's there, Steph isn't. But I don't really see it for that as much as I see it as, again, maturation. And when Steph Curry was asked about it, he was pretty much an echo chamber for that information, where he said, you know, that it's something that he deserves. And, you know, these guys are out here doing it. And he acknowledges, you know, that he's been there for 10 years. And while he did seem a little bit salty about it, he seemed to understand, you know, again, it's a progression thing. So really, really, really excited for him, really excited for just to see the future. There's something that I want to play for you guys. This is unorthodox because we don't normally do this, but we're talking about basketball. There was a game between Mount Carmel and Carlsbad, okay?
You mean like from back home, Mount Carmel?
Mount Carmel. I knew I was going to say Carlsbad? It wrong. Yes, Carlsbad, okay. California, okay. And Mount Carmel, and their high schools. There was a call. I don't have their names. Their names were not listed. They seem to be two very young people. I don't know if it's put on by the school. I feel bad because I can't give a proper credit to them. But when I heard it, I knew I had to share it with you guys. This is a call. Just kind of the sound of what came from this game. How excited these kids were, the energy. We're talking about basketball already. So let me cue this up real quick. If you want to talk for just a second with the people while I get it ready.
I see. What's so funny is I thought I remembered you saying it was El Camino and Carlsbad. There it is. Yeah, I can hear it.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah, no, it's amazing.
Good deal. I forget that technology-wise, we invested in this amazing board where we can share this stuff with you guys. So, totally forgot. I was going to try to play this out loud into my microphone.
No, you don't have to, but you're about to delete the video.
Oh, no, let's not delete it. Yeah. Okay, so once again, this is going to be the call. You're going to hear it. You're going to hear it as it happened. Restart that because it couldn't play.
I can see a big one. Freeney. Oh my God. Sit down, little boy. Let the man fly. I don't care about the technical. He is up in the sky sending it down, big man. Sam Freeney. Boom, 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 boom. That's a body. Put him in the sky and let him fly.
So
I
again,
love that kid.
It's his energy is absolutely unmatched. And I wanted to play that again. A, we're talking about basketball. B, just because, folks, I love to tell people, get out and support your local high school sports. If you can't, if you can just stream it at the house, please don't fall for those crazy fake links on Facebook that you get from the bots. But get out there and support high school sports. Stuff like that is so special. I love to hear it. I want to share that with you guys. The actual boom, 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 that's a body. I almost fell over. His energy was just so, it was that came from the bottom, man. He meant every word of that. Absolutely great. I'm not even sure who won the game, but again, Mount Carmel and
I thought
Carlsbad.
You said the other day it was El Camino.
It may have been El Camino versus Carlsbad. I know Carlsbad is in there. I think, who was that name again? Sam Freedy? Here, let's play that one more time.
And the steal. I can see a big
Sam
one.
Freeney.
Oh, it oh my God. Sit down, little boy. Let the man fly. I don't care about the technical. He is up in the sky sending it down, big man. Sam Freedy. Boom, 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 boom. That's a body. Put him in the sky and let him fly.
That technical meant absolutely nothing to them. I absolutely love that. So, yeah, I just, again, had to share that with you guys. So, let's shift gears to Colin Kaepernick because he's back in the news. So there's probably nobody within the sound of my voice that doesn't know who Colin Kaepernick is and knows, you know, that, of course, he left the NFL. There was some controversy, if you will. And so he's a person that we haven't seen. Pardon me. This person we haven't seen as much of here lately. We haven't heard a lot about here lately, but it's just a rumor, so don't take this as the gospel. But the rumor is that due to the connection out there at the Chargers now with Jim Harbaugh, that there's thoughts that it's possible that Jim Harbaugh may want to bring Colin Kaepernick on as a quarterback's coach for, I almost said for the 49ers, my word. Not the 49ers anymore, but for the Chargers. I'm going to ask you first, what's your opinion if, again, this is a rumor and we are engaging in hyperbole, but we're doing it openly and we're saying it. So pretend with me if you would. What are some positives and some negatives that you could see Colin Kaepernick being for the Chargers as a quarterback's coach?
I feel like I need a minute.
You want to marinate in that for a second?
I need to sit in that for a second.
Sit in it?
So, is Colin Kaepernick a good quarterback? Yes. I feel like I need to make a pros and cons list. Is Colin Kaepernick divisive? Yes. Maybe not anymore. Was. Has Colin Kaepernick played ball at any point in time in the last 7 years? No. Does Colin Kaepernick know what's going on in the NFL day to day on the fields anymore? Probably not. I just have a hard time with it, man. I do.
So I'm going to echo a lot of what you said right there. I, you know, Colin Kaepernick, you know, he felt, you know, the whole thing about being blackballed, all of that, you know, the lawsuit, you know, the socks. There were so many different things that came up. I'm not even going to dive into all of that.
The Chargers, the problem is the Chargers franchise is already a mess.
There are some messes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's not that I'm not all for him being back in, you know, the league somewhere. Are the Chargers the place for him? Or is it because Harbaugh and him have such a tight relationship?
That's what it's going to be. It's going to be the connection. And I think that's really what got steam going behind this, is the thought that, okay, you know, there's the connection. You know, they were close. And so, again, you know, I have nothing founded that says this. It's just a very powerful rumor. So that's why I was like, you know, let's kind of play a little devil's advocate. So let's go to my opinion on this. You know,
it was El Camino and Carlsbad, by the way.
I found the video. Oh my
I've been
word.
Searching over here quietly.
There
searching.
Is the dunk.
It's El Camino.
Whoa.
Know those colors anywhere, brown and yellow.
That dunk was crazy. Yeah, so I did have it right
Sorry,
at first.
I had to find it.
No, I'm glad that you did. So Carlsbad and El Camino, much love to them.
Oh, I need to see who won that
game. I was going to say, I wish it said who the announcer was. I'd love to be able to, again, give him credit. I couldn't find his name anywhere. I know he's a kid, but... Well, she takes a look at that. So I'm going to tell you, I believe 2016 is the last time that he played meaningful football. And for me, I echo a lot of what you said. I mean, you know, there's day-to-day things that happen in the NFL. There's trends. There's the ways that people are playing. There's different styles. You know, exactly. RPO is a massive part of most people's game, of everybody's game at this point, you know. And so... The question for me is, you know, is he going to be able to fold into the type of schemes and ideas that Jim Harbaugh wants to lay down? Would he be an asset to the team, or would he be a herald, you know, would he be heralding back to the way that things were when he was there and football has progressed since then?
You know, I think I wouldn't feel that way so heavily if, because, you know, you don't have to play to know what's going on, right? But he has not been involved in any shape, form, or fashion.
Right, right. And, you know,
nowhere.
And the question is, of course, you know, because he's such a polarizing figure, will it cause any division in the locker room between different people? You know, just his presence. I think that's something that has to be discussed and addressed. You know, that's not to say, again, that he's not good, bad, or otherwise at what he does. I just think that that's something that people have to think about when they're bringing him on. You know, I almost think that has to be kind of a decision. I think a query needs to be taken amongst
the team, like a vote across the team. I agree.
Just because,
or is the idea that, and like, I'm gonna walk over, grab my little tin hat, and throw it on top of my dome piece for a second. Is that all related to the text messages that Jim Harbaugh was sending out?
Oh yeah, I mean, could it be? Could it be? I mean, you know,
because that could have gone out to the big guys to say, hey, I'm just letting you know, I'm bringing this cat on.
Yeah,
you don't like it.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be a really aggressive stance up front, but it could be. I mean, we don't know.
We don't know what he's like IRL.
But, you know, my last thing on that is analytics. Analytics plays such a big part now in football where, you know, you're going to have your analysts that are up in the booth that are going to be telling you that you have a 34% chance if you go for it on 4th and 3, you know, and all of that. And analytics has such a big part in the game, and I don't feel like analytics was as powerful back when Kaepernick was still playing. So I just question, again, you know, with the changes in the game, the way that things are, his comfort level. Again, he could be perfectly fine. I know that he's done workouts. I know that he's been open, that he continues to work out. He continues to keep his game sharp. He's had workouts with numerous teams, so it's interesting. But I figured that was worth bringing up. Let me shake it on down to LSU, the game with the Gamecocks versus LSU women's basketball.
That was a great game.
I figured we could talk a little bit about that.
That was a great game. Fast game.
You know, I tell you, I talked about this the other day, and I love to bring up fundamentals and how much fundamental basketball means to me, you know. And I saw a lot of great examples of just good, solid basketball being played there. You know, people that clearly are taking their layups seriously. And I'm not saying that because they're women that they don't. I'm saying, especially for those of you that have played basketball in high school or in college, many of you have probably been in a layup line. Many of you have played with people that will go through that layup line and they will do the most half-assed job that they possibly can and not put everything into it. And so it was just good to see them finishing and driving and to see these young ladies just, they meant like they stood on business. That's what I'm saying. They stood on their business. And I like that. That was good to see, you know, in a world where, like what Cassie mentioned earlier, and again, we'll get deeper into it later, you know, where the WNBA and women's sports isn't always getting the glance that it probably should, to see women that stand on their business, you know, you get pretty excited about that.
Poor Angel Reese, man. She looked done.
Yes.
Done. Bless her heart. She was tired.
She did. She did. And look, she fought that fight against a team, South Carolina, which they improved to 18-0. You know, now I'm going to tell you that they did look out of sorts for a lot of the night. You know, LSU, they got to like an 11-point lead in the game. You know, they are, of course, the defending national champions. You know, they controlled a lot of it. But Angel Reese, she fouled out with 4 minutes and 2 seconds left. In South Carolina, they saw that opening. They dropped the hammer. The Gamecocks, they finished on an 11-3 run.
Yeah.
That has to show everybody out there what a force Angel Reese is and how much she does on this team, you know?
Oh, yeah. I still can't believe she's really trying to make the decision to go for a modeling contract and career instead.
I'm totally not surprised.
That breaks my heart.
Yeah. Fiscally, I mean, you know.
Oh, I get it. I get it.
We're going to play for 40 minutes, no matter if we're down double digits, we're up double digits. We're going to try to figure out ways to close the gap. That's what South Carolina coach Dawn Staley said. And
they thought that they 100% were saying that the Lady Gamecocks were going to come in and lose that game to LSU.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, Kim made it very clear that her girls were not going to lose that game.
Here goes a quote from the other side of that. Game came down to what it usually does. It's just toughness. It's experience, LSU coach Kim Mulkey said. I want to quote her words. You know, they made the plays to win it. It was just toughness. That was good for the SEC, two teams that were battling it out. And, again, I stand by what I said. I mean, you know, they battled out on that game. There were 7 Gamecocks who scored 6 points or more, led by Chloe Kitts. Chloe had 14. Camilla Cardoso had 11 shot attempts to score 11 points, but the 6'7" senior also grabbed 8 rebounds, and that of course helped them helped them to battle the boards.
What's that? The little girl at LSU, Van. What's her name?
Oh my word! Yeah, her name is. I just drew a blank, but yeah. I was hoping I had her.
She was amazing to watch too.
She was. And that's what I'm saying. There was just a lot of good fundamental basketball that I was really impressed with. I tell you, it is one of those things though, where I think both teams would benefit from, and I say that they would benefit from it. They're both better than me at shots from the field, you know, just taking so many shots from the field. But I know that also comes down to finding your spot on the court, being comfortable with where you're at and trying to get that shot to drop. So Angel Reese's message after the game, after the loss, she said, "I'm a dog." She said, "Respect me. This game was on me, but I'm rocking with my girls day in, day out. Go Tigers." Reese had 15 points, 8 rebounds, and 4 assists in a game that ended on the loss. That puts the Tigers at 18-3 on the season. Now,
Haley Van Lith.
There you go. Thank you. So, as we get scooting down, by the way, 30 minutes have already elapsed. Time goes so fast when you're having fun. So, my next thing here is something special. I implored people last week to please email, texts and messages, etc., and just reach out to us. You know, that we want to hear from you guys because this show exists because of y'all. You know, we get the opportunity to be able to talk about sports, but I've heard so much great feedback. I'm so thankful. And so I said, hey, we have a Facebook page, of course, you know, prior to the snap. You can look us up on Facebook. I gave out the email prior to the snap at gmail.com, and it's not the number two, it's T-O. So keep that in mind. But prior to the snap, everything, I was like, hey, just reach out, give us your feedback. Well, I got an email here that came in, and I guess I thought that this email was going to be to me, for me, about me, but I was mistaken. Sounds like I was too conceited. This comes from Charles. Charles sent this email on Tuesday of this week, and I want to read this. I am a Nebraska fan and follow you on Facebook. I also listen to the Wednesday show you do here in Enid. For those that don't know, I actually, I do some radio for Fox Sports on a show called The Game Plan. If you'd like to check that out, there's also a Facebook page for that. And so this guy is a listener local here in Oklahoma, which thank you so much. You had that girl on that you've had on with you before that talks Nebraska football. I have some questions for her as a fan, and my wife thinks it's cool there is a Nebraska fan on the radio that's a woman and is knowledgeable about the team. We lived in Wahoo, Nebraska. When I first saw that, I thought this was a joke. We were together, and I told her this, and I was like, Wahoo, Nebraska. Like, that's funny. This must be a bot or fake. Folks, Wahoo, Nebraska is not only quite real, they are quite proud. So don't be making jokes about Wahoo, Nebraska. Said we lived.
You went on a whole tangent looking up Wahoo and everything that Wahoo had.
I couldn't believe it. I was falling out. I mean, I just.
It was amazing.
Well,
like a 15-minute just garble of talking about Wahoo.
Well, wait.
Wonderful.
So I'm going to read this next little paragraph here, and I think people are going to understand why I had to go on this like this deep dive. We lived in Wahoo, Nebraska, home of Wahoo Sam Crawford and the Runza restaurant on Chestnut Street. Cheese Runzas are the best. Now I have some questions for her I'd like her opinion on. Now, before we get to those questions and her opinion, those of you that are from a small town or have ever lived in one, I knew something was amiss when this cat said, and the Runza restaurant on Chestnut Street. See, when you live in a small town, you have a main drag and you will call out the street that the thing is on because you only have like 10 streets in your town. So I knew something was amiss. I believe Wahoo is like 3 miles. The whole town is like 3 miles. So clearly, when I did some searching, Chestnut Street was the busy street. But shout out to Wahoo, Nebraska. Shout out to this Runza restaurant. Shout out to Runza in general because I like food. So
your Runza is amazing. You know that you can get, for any Nebraska fan that's listening to this, and you guys may already know this, you can 100% order your own frozen Runzas and have them delivered to your home.
As a Chicagoan, I'd like to also say that Portillo's will send your Chicago dogs, too.
Bruh, stop it. Anyway.
I'm just saying.
Speaking about Chicago. This is about Nebraska right now.
Okay. Yes, it is. This is very much about Nebraska. This segment is
Nebraska
heavy, and there are some really important questions here. This is probably going to take a little bit of time, so those of you that remember Big 8 football, earlier Big 12 football when Nebraska was here, a lot of this is probably going to resonate deep with you. So go ahead and put on your little seatbelt there because here we go. Why wasn't Turner Gill our head coach? He would have been a better choice than Scott Frost. And these questions are directed to you, so I'm going to read these, but you're going to be answering them. So.
No, that's fine. I remember Turner Gill coming up in conversation before they hired Mike Riley. I remember that coming up. However,
do you think that Turner Gill would have been a better choice than Mike Riley?
100%. Anything would have been better than Mike Riley. Anything.
What? Real quick.
Okay.
For the uninitiated, because not everybody listening to this is privy to Nebraska football.
Okay.
In your opinion, what did Mike Riley do?
Nothing.
What did he do that was so that just didn't work out for the Nebraska football program.
You know what? I think you cannot go from a coach like Bo Pelini, who's so loud and I guess he is a little aggressive, but, you know, so loud and boisterous and emotional and like tuned in, right? To Mike Riley standing on the sideline with his arms crossed, just like Scott Frost did. Like, just no emotion, no...
kind of described Mike Gundy at the beginning of this season.
Yeah, I was really worried about him at the beginning of the season. I'm going to be 100% honest with you. Yeah, that was rough.
Recovered well.
But the problem with Turner Gill that I think maybe not a whole lot of people know, his wife was diagnosed with cancer. He stepped away, man. So he's at home taking care of his wife.
Yeah, and you got to respect that.
Absolutely.
So that's a great answer. Absolutely. Great answer. Well, he hits you with a lot. So let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Will Nebraska ever return to the powerhouse it was, or will we drown in this new look Big Ten?
Hurting
and the Big
my
Ten,
feelings.
Boy, that landscape is changing big
quick,
time.
Quick and fast. Yes. Quick and fast, man.
12-team playoff. All these new teams that are getting absorbed into the Big Ten. I mean, that is
place
of... I can't imagine being a fan of any team that was part of the Big Ten West Division this year and looking at what's coming. How the Big Ten West
but
underperformed.
There's a major thing that we have to remember here, my opinion, with these teams that are coming in. They don't play defense worth a damn.
Okay, you can't say that about everybody.
I can't say that about everybody. But it's a totally, you know, it's hard looking at, first off, what was the question again?
No problem. Hey, look, these are easy for us to go off on some tangents.
Yeah, no, I can go on a full 45-minute tangent.
I'm sure. No. Will Nebraska ever return to the powerhouse it was, or will we drown in the new look Big Ten?
I honestly think Nebraska now versus Nebraska even last year, I looked up the schedule for next year just the other day.
Yes, because I want to toss USC
and
UCLA.
There's no reason that Nebraska could not have, go ahead.
I'm sorry, real fast. USC, UCLA, UCLA, Oregon, and Washington are all joining for the 2024.
Yeah, I ain't tripping out Washington. Washington just lost their coach.
They've lost a lot, but I'm saying that for anybody that didn't know who all was coming.
Yeah, and I think something else we have to remember is these teams are coming, UCLA, USC, they're all going to be coming there and playing in weather that they are not accustomed to playing in. And check this out. If it's the middle of winter, go on ahead, boo-boo. Try to fly that ball in the air all day because it ain't going to work. Now, let me get back to what the question was.
How inhospitable is a winter in Nebraska?
This is terrible. Are you kidding me? I lived there for 10 months, and it was the coldest I've ever been in my life. Are you kidding? It is so cold. It's miserable. It's cold. So, but what I'm saying is, I think Nebraska, at this point, looking at next year's schedule and who they're playing, there is no reason that Nebraska cannot have at least 8 wins by the end of the season. No reason.
It's been a long time.
Period. End of discussion. It's that team has not seen that in forever.
The postseason has eluded them for many years.
Yes, absolutely. Now, my big thing with that is we're not going to be fumbling around with Dingleberry, Jeff Sims, at the beginning of the season trying to force that square peg to fit in a circle hole.
He's just a kid.
I know he's just a kid, and he's a wonderful kid. However, he is not him. He is not him. The other thing I have a problem with was letting Chuba Purdy go. That should never have happened. I get that you wanted...
Did they let him go or did he choose to go?
No, I think it was a conversation of not having a conversation with him because I'd be willing to bet. Look, where did he end up, Chuba Purdy? Where did he end up?
Nevada?
Yeah. You going to stay in Nebraska or you're going to go to some... Because he was supposed to go to San Ho.
Right.
And I can't remember who ended up at San Ho.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was.
Yeah, the coach quit. So it's just part of the carousel. Casey Thompson is at OU. He's the backup at Oklahoma.
Right. Anyway, he's nothing. Okay. But no, I think Nebraska has the capability to be an amazing team. However, I say this. I think Nebraska needs to make a move.
A lot of people have heard a lot of rumblings that with Texas and Oklahoma out, that people
make your move,
are interested in seeing Nebraska make a move.
Can you imagine?
Towards the Big 12.
That,
but
I think statistics-wise, That would be the move, man. Get away from that.
Wait,
get
wait.
Down to
I'm going
to
stop you. And here's why. The next question is, do we need to go back to the Big 12 now that Texas
is
gone?
That's the next question.
So here's what I want to say something about
No. You don't get the chance to. No, nobody cares about the Longhorns, bro. Let it go. All long down or Longhorns down.
I am so frustrated that this person took the time. Charles,
don't come for him.
Charles, I love you.
It's okay. Don't listen to anything he's saying. He's just being a crybaby. Don't listen to him. I'll turn his mic off so you don't have to listen to him. It's fine.
The fact that
he took the time to say, do we need to go back
to the Big 12 now that Texas is gone?
Oh, my God.
Everybody wants to blame the Longhorns for everything.
Y'all destroy everything. That's all you guys
do.
And
now,
then you
please,
cry
you
when
go
people
ahead.
Do horns down.
You go ahead.
Wham, babies.
You go ahead.
Anyways, yes, I think that would be very smart. And let me say from this point, this is not about we're so scared because USC, UCLA, all that. No. This is the opportunity for Nebraska to move down into a conference where they could just beat up on people all day and gives you a better chance of making it to the playoffs. If you're in a conference of teams of Ohio, Michigan, which that'll be interesting next year, USC, UCLA, Washington, which that'll also be interesting, Oregon, some really good teams, because you never know. They could come to the Big Ten and they could be just as good as they were in the pack. But if you have the chance to go to a conference and just whoop up on some people all year long, by God, you better do it.
So what I've done here is I've pulled up a schedule of Nebraska's football games next season, 2024. First game is against UTEP.
When?
Okay, and it's at Memorial Stadium. Easy. Next game is against Colorado.
Oh, absolute win.
Colorado
against the Colorado
at Memorial Deons. Stadium.
Absolute win.
You know,
sorry.
Man, who all knows? I mean, they're getting stacked up.
No. You and I both watched that game last year.
Yeah.
A Colorado-Nebraska game. Yeah. And the only reason Nebraska lost that game is because of Jeff Sims. If that defense played like a son of a all night, Colorado is not ever. God, that is a whole nother tangent I could get off on, and I'm going to let that sleeping dog lie.
All three of the first games are home games. And, of course, Northern Iowa. Yep.
That
at
win.
Memorial Stadium.
So that's three.
Okay. Next game. Home game again against Illinois.
Win.
Fighting Illini. Okay.
Illini.
Yep. Next game is away at Purdue. You know,
Purdue's questionable. That's that Saturday night, man. That's that weird one. You never know with that one.
I agree.
I'd like to call a win. I think they can pull it off. It's just, it's going to be questionable.
Homecoming against Rutgers.
Win.
Away at Indiana.
Win.
Away at Ohio State.
No, that's a loss.
Home against UCLA.
You know, it's going to depend
Chip
on
Kelly
how the...
Fired
it depend, I don't... No, I don't think so.
I didn't think so either.
Excuse me. It's going to depend all in the defense in that game.
Yeah.
Is the defense going to come out and play or not?
Yeah. Away at USC.
Same thing.
Yeah. Home against Wisconsin.
Questionable. Don't know enough about Wisconsin.
I'm
going to
tell you right now, Wisconsin has made a lot of big changes. Wisconsin has adopted the air raid offense. Was it Cliff Kingsbury that
just interviewed? We just talked about that the other day.
Yeah, we spoke
and I was
about
like,
that.
I can't believe he would even consider someone that cold.
Hey, you know, but considering again,
but
what
again?
The,
how does that work in the winter?
What
when it gets real cold out?
Well, how does
how
that
well
work?
You know you get those winds that are 45, 50 mile an hour winds?
Yeah,
how are you going to play that? I mean.
So if I'm an offensive coordinator, I'm going to try to tailor the offense. You know, I think a lot of people got a good look at how some offensive coordinators like Jeff Lebby can go highly conservative in that game against Kansas where it was raining and he really scaled back the offense.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas I see it as, you know, if it's cold, if it's windy, et cetera, if my quarterback can still grip the ball and if he's got the cannon, you know, I'm going to take the wind into account in the game, and I'm going to make sure that essentially he is throwing the ball with the wind, if it's possible. If he can't, then we're doing a lot of dump passes. You know, we're going to be doing a lot of out routes, that kind of thing. We're not going to, you know, we're going to lean harder on the running game. I think it really just depends, but that's where that balanced attack comes from. You know, they have to be a balanced team. Air raid, I think, for a lot of teams became something for a while that was a crutch.
Oh, absolutely.
Where some teams 100%. Just depended on the air raid. I have to outscore you, as we saw with
Caleb
Williams.
Well, you know what caused that?
What caused
you know
that?
What caused that? When they set up how the playoff schemes were going to work, and it was about running up the scores on teams and the look. You know, no, that's what caused that, man.
That.
And we all loved it. You look back at that Kansas City, what was it? Kansas City Rams game. Dude, that game was insane. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And I remember being a little girl watching football and just praying for like a Hail Mary the whole game. Yeah. Like, I just want to see it.
That
it has to happen.
That whole game was a Hail Mary.
That whole game, exactly what I was going to say. That
score
whole game.
140 points.
Oh, that was dumb.
I don't think it was
but
that
it was
many.
So
but I think
good.
LSU and A&M or somebody years ago had like a game that ended. It was like 70-72.
That's insanity.
Game went to like
There's
2
no
o'clock
reason,
in the morning.
Bro.
It was crazy.
No reason.
Okay, let's get down to the next question here. We got a lot of brass tacks that we're beating on. We're already 45 minutes in.
Sorry, Charles.
So, is Matt Rhule really the guy, in your opinion?
Yes, absolutely. We were just talking about this the other day. It's so funny that you brought this up, Charles. I 100% think that Matt Rhule is the guy. I don't think that Matt Rhule is fit for NFL just because of you're dealing with different attitudes in the NFL that you're going to be dealing with in college ball. Here's my concern. Here is my concern. Matt Rhule will get Nebraska back up to bowl game status. We're going to, I'm going to stand on my business right now and say we will have a bowl game next year. And it's not going to be an educational bowl, number one. My concern, though, is Matt Rhule is a builder. I work in an industry where if you're known as a builder, you don't stay anywhere long. You build that up, you go and you fix the next one, and you fix the next one. Are we going to be able to keep Matt Rhule? Is he going to build up the program, get us to where we need to be, and then is he going to leave to go fix the next program?
Yes to everything.
Damn, man. Yes. See, that's what I'm worried about.
I mean,
that's my concern.
Look, his resume is what got him hired. His work
I know,
at Baylor,
exactly.
His
that's
his
my
work
point.
At Temple,
that's
you know.
My point. It's just like in my industry. Mm-hmm. If you're a fixer, you're known to be a fixer, you don't stay. You get it fixed, and then it's back onto the next program that's falling apart.
Yep.
You know? That's my major concern. Don't get too attached to Matt Rhule because I'm standing on it. He's not going to be there long. 5 years tops.
I am going to say one more thing about that, though. Fixers get tired, and fixers miss regularity and the problems fixing.
Matt Rhule, you better retired, boo.
You know, there is the opportunity where after going through a couple of programs and getting them back, you know, where they needed to be, is he ready to kind of just settle down and just be there, be the guy at a place for a while?
You know, the one thing that had me questioning Matt Rhule heavy was Jeff Sims. That had me questioning him big time. Because
was some of
Jeff
that desperations
Sims,
on when he came in and who was left in the portal?
Some of it, sure. But it wasn't who. That was he got screwed by Casey Thompson. That's what that was. That was dirty, and Casey Thompson just did it again.
Did Casey? Well, but with Casey Thompson, I mean, you know, he's got his last year of eligibility.
I hope
he
sits on the bench the whole time.
Well, he's the backup.
Good.
He's the backup
and I hope
to Jackson
sits
Arnold.
The whole time.
So Jackson Arnold, I'm going to give it up to OU, man. He's got a heck of an arm. That kid's got a cannon. They got to get themselves an offensive line to be able to take care of him. Caden Green's gone. So many other people are gone. I mean, heck, I think Caden Green was a freshman. I think we visited some about that in our first episode and the saga that, you know, played out there. But, yeah, they're going to have to be able to protect him because watching them in that game against Arizona, he ran for his life. As a freshman, as a young kid, I mean, I was very impressed with his ability to be able to just get the ball out somewhere. But he ran for his life. They're going to have to make some serious changes, OU.
I think the big thing with Sims is if you looked at his stats pre-Nebraska, he was listed as the number 10 dual-threat quarterback in the nation.
Yes.
Which that's impressive, especially for a team that, you know, was struggling the way Nebraska was, you know? I think the idea was, I hope in Matt Rhule's head, that the idea was that we just have to let him, give him some time, get his wigglies out, you know, let him get, what is it, the yips, get him over his yips and get him playing. Or it could have been a situation where I love to call him the Hindenburg, old Heinrich. you know, get Heinrich ready, get Chuba ready, or maybe they weren't ready yet.
I don't think they were.
I don't think they were
that
either.
That quarterback room wasn't
ready. But there's the other question of, were we running reps with Heinrich and Purdy all summer? And then we threw Sims in, and that's why it didn't work, because Sims came into the situation so late.
I think we can guess in 16 different ways with that, but that's just a tough one. That's a tough nut to crack. I think that being his first year, I think that most Nebraska fans are going to have to look at that as a gimme. And
wasn't going to be pretty first year. Yeah, we all knew that.
I think that this coming season, and look, the spring football is going to be on your back before you realize it. As I've gotten older, I've come to realize how fast time passes. Today's what, the 27th of January? I feel like Christmas was just a week ago. So, you know, as fast as time passes, we're going to be talking about spring football, all of that here in just a hot second. Heck, guys, we're going to be talking hot and heavy about who's getting into NCAA March Madness here pretty quick. I mean, I can't wait until the bracketology special. We're going to have a bracketology special for women's and for men's. So, I mean, there's so much happening in the world of football. It's going to be crazy. Let me get back to Charles's email. He spent so much time to send this stuff, and I want to make sure we get to all of this. Do you miss throwing the bones, red balloons, and tunnel walk Husker power chant? Now, if you're like me, you have no idea what any of that means. So we're going to learn a little bit about, I guess, some traditions from Nebraska.
It's been how many years since Nebraska was a good team?
2016. That was their last bowl game appearance.
It's been a long time.
It's been a while.
If you listen
to people like Colin Cowherd, he says they're dead.
I ain't listening to Colin Cowherd. And you know what? Let me go. Look, here we go. Here we go. Being a Nebraska fan doesn't mean I'm only down when you're up. It means I'm down when you're down too. There is something to be said about Nebraska fans. Of course, you know, we miss the power chip. We miss all of it, right? We miss every single bit of that. Sorry, I was stretching. My bad. Sorry, Charles.
Got to stay close to these mics.
I know. I got to stay close.
These new mics
are
really fancy, so we have to remind ourselves to like stay right in front of them. You guys just wait until the cameras are live and in here, and you guys can actually see us.
Yeah. No. I mean, 100%. I miss it all, but I think we are blessed in the fact that the Nebraska program is blessed in the fact that they have fans that are with their team through and through to the end of it. I can't say, though, that the bones did not get thrown last year at multiple different occasions. But no, I mean, the program is building. It's going to take us some time. It's not going to happen overnight. And I think that is what makes Nebraska's fans some of the best fans in the nation, because we understand it doesn't happen overnight.
You know, I saw a list of some of the most courteous fans, and Nebraska was like up there at the top. It's crazy. They apparently always clap off the other team. Yeah. You just don't get that everywhere. I remember visiting family in New Orleans, and there was an LSU game, and you could literally hear people screaming "Tiger bait" at people on the streets. So,
it is not like that in Nebraska.
Yeah, a whole different kind of an atmosphere, obviously. So, okay, let's do this. Am I the only one that thinks Little Red is about the stupidest mascot idea anywhere?
I can't stand Little Red. However, after doing some research, something I learned, Little Red was actually put together for the women's volleyball team. And with that said, then I'm going to back off and I'm going to let Little Red be.
There you go, Charles. You're going to have to give some love to Little Red.
Yeah, especially after the ladies football filled Memorial Stadium. Dude, what? That is insane.
Yeah, I think that that was just beaten 2 days ago by Michigan by just a few.
Well, then they're going to have to do it again.
So I don't think they'll have a problem. Okay, let me go
to Memorial Stadium. Don't sit empty. I'm just saying. You know what I'm saying?
The teams we had in 94, 95, and 97, can they be topped with the talent we had?
I have a hard time with this question.
Yeah.
I have a really hard time with this question. From what I gather you're asking, Charles, you cannot compare the teams of 94, 95, and 97 to anybody. You can't. You can't. There's a totally different style of ball being played. People are bigger, faster. We have machines that we hook our players up now to read their, you know, their muscle mass. And, you know, this just not comparable. For instance, out of curiosity, when your email first came in, I went and looked up Tommy Frazier's numbers just because I was curious, right? Like, I'm like, I don't know those stats. I was 10 in 95, okay? give me a break. So I went and looked, and then looked at like his passing yards. In the Orange Bowl, he threw for 100 yards. That was it. I can't compare that to anybody else right now because nobody else is playing football like that anymore.
Right.
So I can't intelligently answer that question for you, man. I wish I could. I just can't. Now, no, I can't. There's no intelligent way for me to answer that question.
And when we talked a little bit about this ahead of time before the show, we got into a really deep dive conversation about how I said, I feel like there's two different kinds of fans, and it's the dichotomy between the two kinds of fans that causes problems sometimes. You have fans who are stats fans. You have fans that can tell you how many games were won in a certain season. They can tell you how many tackles that somebody had. They don't have to look it up on their phone. They know this information in their head. And then you have people that are probably more like myself, where I know some stats, but I don't remember all of the stats. And that's not because I don't care. It's because I'm very much an X's and O's guy. So when we were discussing this earlier, Cassie was kind of quizzing me, asking me, hey, you know, so how many yards do you think, da-da-da, all of that. And immediately my first question was, all right, that was the late 90s. What style? It's like, I bet they were still doing power eye type football, because I immediately think about formations. I'm thinking to myself, were we in the year of West Coast offense? Were we in the year of power eye? Were we in the year of the wishbone? You know, what was popular back then? Because what was popular in football is what drove, you know, points and scores and things like that. Because each style of football, I'm sorry, wishbone football is probably one of the most physical, dominating, you need to have all of the gas and stamina in your tank football that I've ever watched. That was a time where you could lower your head and you could put the crown of your helmet into a guy's stomach or into his chest and just drive him, you know, and heck, I think that was probably encouraged, you know, and you would just run the ball meticulously forever. That was a different time. I remember watching option football. It was the triple option versus more of a spread type of an offense, and trying to watch two high schools just here this past year, a high school game that I called, and watching an older style of football versus a defensive here today, like a 3-4 type of a defense, you know. But again, you have people who are X's and O's people in that. And so I think that we kind of battle each other unnecessarily. But much like with music, you know, you hear, you know, I'm in my mid 40s. I'm a guy who I love to listen to 90s rock, right? Or 90s R&B. Whereas, you know, I have a teenage son who later on in life, he's going to enjoy what we call mumble rap, because that's what was important to him during his formative years, you know? And so I think that's something that we get stuck on. And I see how the question is framed, but I think it's a great answer, because you can't show me the Kenny Bell hit and say,
I can feel that one, boy.
You can't
feel
show
it.
Me the Kenny Bell hit and tell me that that's the same as something that you saw during that time. You know, it was just different. Guys are faster. Guys are stronger. Cassie said earlier, kinesiology and all these things are different. Mm-hmm. Rehab is different. Back then, a garbage can, ice cubes and some water and a salt tablet is all you needed to get a guy right.
You know, it's so interesting because, you know, you have to look at size too, man.
Oh, my word. Yes.
Size.
Yes.
Like you even said earlier, pads, how much pads and how everything of the game has changed in 10 years.
Last time I wore pads was 2012. And the pads,
and your pads are massive.
I was
going to
say, you've seen
huge,
my foot. Yeah, yeah, they don't look anything like
that. I mean,
they do
you're
now.
Big, but those pads are massive. Mm-hmm. I think it's just, it's impossible to compare. Like, you know, I am definitely the type that, you know, when I'm thinking, when I'm talking about certain people, I'm going to look up your stats and I'm going to look at what you have. It's hard though. You know, when you have somebody like, this is a great example, a perfect example. Shador, his first game at Colorado, he passed for how many yards?
400.
400 yards.
Yeah, it's crazy.
That's my point. There is my point. It is a totally different football game to watch these days versus, you know, 94, 95, 97. Now, I mean, I just don't think you can. I don't think you fairly can, unless you were to literally put them up against each other right now today.
Well, okay, we're gonna put this thing to bed, just because I want to make sure we can. I have some other things that I want to play for you guys. Lastly, when you go to your next game, let us know. We love to jingle our keys and hold up a shoe on kickoff with you in our grit, in our glory, number one Husker. Charles. So
go Big Red.
There you go. That's
Charles, you and your wife are phenomenal.
That is,
I love that.
That's wild. It's wild. The key shaking. I know I noticed that once before and it confused me. But
yeah, it's Nebraska, man.
Yeah.
It's a vibe.
I think it's
Nebraska
amazing.
Nebraska is a vibe.
I want to play some audio for you guys. As you guys know, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, especially because we're already over an hour. Like this show is flying by. I want to play another piece of audio for everyone out there. This is going to be audio of the Lions interception. And I'm just going to hit you guys with some quick notes that I have about just about the game this weekend with the Lions and the 49ers. So it's just going to be some general stuff. Here we go.
Back, loads, throws. Mayfield back, loads, throws. Picked up by the Lions. Intercepted by the Lions. Intercepted by the Lions. Derek Barnes. Derek Barnes. Oh, baby. 1:33 to go. The Lions are going to San Francisco. Derek Barnes with the interception. Oh, baby, stand up, Ford Field. Look at this.
I love the Ric Flair at the end.
The woo.
Put a little bit of woo on it. I love it. Why does that matter? What you heard was that raw, real passion from guys who legitimately, clearly, like that meant so much to them. You know, that means so much to that city, to that town. What, 30 some odd years since their last playoff win?
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
I am so pumped for Detroit.
Yeah.
I am so pumped for them. Like, I have always been an underdog fan. Like, that is my favorite. And I'm so excited to see for that. I can't wait.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to read from my notes here. So please don't hate me for this. I wrote this down the other day. I'm just going to read this just because, again, I want to keep it going. I know we have so much that I want for us to be able to get to. Baltimore is sixth in the league in defense. Kansas City, second in the league in defense. You know, if this is still a ball game, just in the fourth, I mean, it's going to be wild, but this is going to be a battle of attrition between Baltimore and Kansas. We're going to be watching two prolific quarterbacks in our time right now. We're going to, and two different styles, right? We're going to be seeing the Ravens. We're going to be seeing the run attack. Why can I not say his name, the quarterback for the Ravens? Lamar Jackson, you know, who dual threat quarterback. He's great with his legs. Obviously, Patrick Mahomes, he throws the ball like a baseball. He manages to create. Travis Kelce somehow is always everywhere, somewhere. Yes, he's not impressed.
Sorry.
I am. And look, here, I want to say this about the 49ers and the Detroit game. I am worried about Detroit's ability to be able to hang in there. Detroit is the best story in the league, just hands down. San Francisco, in my opinion, is probably the best roster. But I think that roster, I mean, you got guys like George Kittle out there and that just that whole crew, that they're a problem, like literally. Detroit's given up over 400 yards of offense in the last few games. They still managed to win. That tells me that they have to hang. The line on the game is 7. I feel like, look, this is San Francisco's third consecutive championship game that they were in, and they were in a Super Bowl just, what, a few years ago. This is uncharted territory for the Lions, and even though golf has been in a Super Bowl, I think it comes down to who's got the best players. And, folks, stop this Brock Purdy hate. My word. We will come back to that here later. I don't want to lay too much of that out there, but that's just kind of what I want to say about that. I want to play one more piece of audio. It'll be my last piece of audio that I play throughout our show. This one may be the most important, though it's not in English. But it is interesting nonetheless because it's going to open up for me to talk about something that it just needs to be said. I may have messed up here. Hang on, folks. I think I made a mistake. There we go. This is the beauty of technology right here. You spend all this money on technology. Gotta get it to work for you. Here we go.
조시 앨런 선수가 오른쪽으로 나오면서 시간을 벌어봤지만 오픈된 리시버를 찾을 수 없었습니다.
44야드 거리입니다. 타일러 베스.
오른쪽으로 벗어났어요.
You may be wondering, what in the world did you just hear? That was a Korean broadcast.
Sounds like a soccer game.
Yeah, it does. It does. It's funny you would say that because it's all about a kick. That was the Korean broadcast of when Tyler Bass missed the field goal that went wide right. That
how
is
did that happen?
The wind, bro, swirling
winds. That
was
so heartbreaking.
It was heartbreaking. Swirling winds.
That was so bad.
What was more heartbreaking for me was when word came out about the death threats. The fact that Tyler Bass and his family had to stay in a hotel because they couldn't stay at their house because people were throwing things at their house. They got doxxed. People found out where they live. Tyler Bass was apparently just an absolute emotional mess because he felt the blame. People were sending letters. People were emailing him. People were going just absolutely. I was gobsmacked.
There's not enough respect for that position, man. Like, the game is in, and it's always like that, right? Like, it is always like that, where when you are in that position, you are always put in that position where the game hangs on your foot.
Sure.
And that's nothing he could have controlled, man. Like, it was going in the right direction. And I remember literally sitting there watching. I'm like, oh, man, he's got this all day. And then it was like somebody came up and, like, finger flicked the ball.
Yeah. It was on a rope.
Oh, my God. Like, it was heartbreaking. That is so... God, I can't stand people. That is so sick.
So, now...
At the end of the day, dude, it's just a game.
Exactly.
At the end of the day.
It's just a
game.
It's
just a game.
I think he is back in his house now.
Bless his heart.
I think he's back.
His poor family.
I was going to say, but I feel terrible. Sick. It is so sick. Ugh. Now, with all of that bad, I want to flip the coin over. Some good has come out of this. The 10 Lives Club so far has saved over 3,000 homeless and abandoned cats. That's how many they save every year. So, at this point right now, as of this moment of me speaking, there has been raised over $260,000 has been raised, for the kitties. Taylor Swift fans, Swifty groups, fans of the Chiefs, just generic fans have been donating. Bills fans have been donating on behalf of Tyler, who worked with this group in the past. He worked with this cat rescue. And so in
his
name, yes, as of this post, let's see. Yes, they are going to be able to utilize the over $260,000 to make an impact in Western New York in finding shelter, homes, all of that for all of these kittens. So cats, kittens.
That's like the sweetest thing I've heard all day.
So I wanted to make sure I put that out there. You know, just something good came out of this horrific situation.
Good job, Swifties.
While we're talking about it, I'm glad you said that. Let's talk about Taylor Swift again. And, you know, she's trying to live her life with Travis Kelce. And it's funny because you said something about men's spaces. And
don't get me started.
Well, I am. That's part of why I put this down here, you know. Because, you know, I think we mentioned it last week. You know, there's so many people that are so twisted up like a pretzel that they're having to see Taylor Swift. And like I've said, I'm like, look,
who cares, she is there, bro?
Trying to
who
support
cares?
A man that she clearly loves the heck out of. So at this point, you know, and look, it's a cash grab by the NFL. I mean, it's in her
100%.
Fault. Like,
she's not asking for that.
Yeah, at no time.
She's literally there
less.
Just watching the game.
Yeah, she has her whole tour where at some of these stadiums, her fans are so loud that they're managing to register as an earthquake. So I'm pretty sure that she's doing fine. She doesn't need.
She is the richer one of the two.
I wanted to ask you then, so what's your take on this? What's your
hot
take?
Oh, I'm so sick and damn tired of it. You know, I'm going to ruffle some feathers. You know what? Forget it. I'm going to go for it. Men, if you can't handle seeing Taylor Swift's face for 2.5 seconds while you watch your Chiefs game, I don't know what to tell you. If that is the thing that you find that you have to go on social media and cry about like a big baby over 3 seconds of Taylor Swift, get over yourself. I am so sick of it. I am so sick of cry wham baby men crying because Taylor Swift got 3 seconds, 5 seconds on the NFL on a game. Get over yourself, bro. Like, I'm so done with it. And you know what? Be mad. I don't care.
Hot take.
I don't care.
That's a hot
take. I'm sorry. Like, you know, she's there having a blast. She's hanging out with Jason. She's hanging out with his mom. They're having fun, and who cares? Like, come on, get over yourself. Like, you're just mad because a woman has invaded a man's space. get over it.
And I'll leave it at that. I don't think I can intelligently say anything else, add anything, nothing, just beside the fact that, like I said, she's not asking for this. And I think we all have to kind of keep that in mind. It's not her fault.
Yeah. Like she's like, they act like she's like texting the camera crew. I'm like, right. Oh, excuse me. Can you please make sure to get the camera up on me for like 3 seconds? I know I have my Eras tour where I've made like $4 billion, but I need 3 additional seconds. Shut up.
Okay. So let's talk about Luka scoring 73 points in a record setting night the other night. Let's talk about that. Dallas Mavericks star Luka, night to remember was this past Friday, as a matter of fact. State Farm Arena, 73 points in a victory, 148-143 over the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay, Say that again.
He scored a career high 73 points in a 148-143 victory.
What? I literally, my brain checked out for a hot second when you said it the first time. I legitimately did not believe I heard the words out of your mouth.
You know, my hope is that I have enough time to be able to get to one of my last topics, and I may just have to just skip it forward so we can talk about it because it relates to this. It marked the highest scoring game in the NBA this season, passing the 70-point performance by 76ers center Joel Embiid on Monday against the San Antonio Spurs. It also tied Wilt Chamberlain and David Thompson for the fourth highest output in NBA history. Chamberlain, who owns the NBA record with 100 points, also had a 78-point outing, while Kobe Bryant finished with 81 points on January 22nd, 2006.
Damn close. Yeah,
it's crazy.
Wow.
And those names are special, is what Luka said. He said that it's pretty much just unbelievable. And I guess, again, at over an hour in, I should probably skip. There's so many pages of notes that I have and things I want to go over, but I don't want to miss this. Are these 70-plus point games bad for the game? I don't want us to get desensitized to it. Do we need to consider moving the three-point arc back? Do we need to widen the court? I don't want this to be a normal thing and lose its charm, if you will. That's my concern. You know, we've had, three or four players now in the last couple of weeks score over 60, over 70 points. And it used to be a thing in these last couple of weeks for me to wake up and go, oh my gosh, look at this. Look at all these points. This is crazy. What a wild Herculean effort. But if this keeps happening, it's going to take the mystique and we aren't going to be able to get as excited about it because it's going to be normal. Just like how you just were like 148 to 104. What is happening? That means literally that on transition in those games, there is no defense. They just stand there and then they just do a rebound and they run the ball back as fast as they can and they rain threes, you know.
It'll still hold its mystique because people still get excited to watch air raid football.
Mm. Interesting. Well said. People do get excited to watch air raid football, but just on. But as
I get
far
what
as
you're
the individual
saying, though.
Accomplishment, though,
yeah,
you know,
well, because then the individual accomplishment will just become higher and higher. It'll just be the next guy you'll hear will be 120 points in one game.
That's true.
The goal will just get higher and higher.
Yeah, and I guess that's kind of where we're at with it. Okay, so Michigan, and I'm going to just touch on this. Michigan hires Sharon Moore, 37-year-old offensive coordinator. Moore beat Ohio State and filled in for Harbaugh while he served
great,
his suspension.
Great hire.
Yeah. And, of course, we did talk
love
about
to see that.
Him. Yeah, no, great hire.
It's what Alabama should have done.
Oh, Caitlin Clark and her collision with the fan. So if you saw that, Caitlin Clark, they finished up the game. I think she took an L. Fans decided to storm the court, and a fan had a collision with Caitlin Clark. My opinion, I think she might have sold it a little bit, but, you know, that's up for debate.
She brawned it?
Yeah, a little bit. But my question is, you know, how do we feel about storming courts? You know, do we think, like, are we at a point where court storming needs to stop? Does football field storming need to stop? You know,
no.
Do you think it's no. Okay. That was
No, I think that's super special as a fan, man. Like, I'm going to go off.
Hey, go off. You have time.
Okay. So to me, stopping that is like, you know, the Texas Longhorns saying you can't do horns down. Oh, wham. Like 1-800 wham, wham, wham. Man, I ain't got the time for it. It's sports
Smalls.
At the end of the day.
Killing me, Smalls.
It's so true, though. Like, that whole thing. What was the newest thing? He got all up in his panties because kids were wearing horns down shirts at that game?
Yeah, that was...
Fire him immediately. Texas, fire him. I can't even remember what his name is. Oh, crybaby.
You're talking about the coach out there?
What's his name?
I like to call him Gus Fring, Rodney Terry.
Rodney, just fire him immediately. Fire him immediately.
Yeah, you know.
He is such a bad look for the university, dude. I can't even.
So let me talk for just a second about the 62-point game with Karl Anthony Towns. I tell you, it was pretty much the saddest 62-point game ever. You know, the Wolves, they grabbed the number one seed in the Western Conference at the time. I think their Oklahoma City Thunder, last I saw, because they hold the tiebreaker with the Wolves, was the number one. But that may have changed right now because of a game that the Timberwolves won, but the Thunder wasn't active at the time. There's so much. Anyway, by the time you there, those of you that are going to hear this later anyway, that there's going to be things that have happened since anyhow, so it won't be relevant at that time. But, you know, it wasn't it's odd because it wasn't that long ago that the Wolves actually had a big celebration because they won a play-in game like a championship. You know, their rise in the West, it's been like a great story for the season. Towns, he finished this game, you know, against the Wolves. This final score, 128-125, with a massive fourth quarter comeback. Towns ends up with a historic night, 62 points, but it's just the way it happened, you know. He was 21 of 35 on shooting from the field, 10 of 15 from the three-point line. He got 8 rebounds, dished out 2 assists, turned the ball over 7 times. And Minnesota led by 15 points going into the fourth quarter, but a combination of hero ball shot selection from Towns and some scorching shooting from Charlotte, it turned a 60-plus point game into a black eye. If I recall, he ended up getting sat there for the last couple of minutes, and so it's just, you know, as the coach said, obviously we're going to try to feed a hot hand, but at some point we have to get back to making the right plays, doing the right things. There's a lot of ways to be immature, and there was a lot of immature performances throughout the roster. And he said that we totally disrespected the game ourselves, and we got exactly what we deserved. He torched his team completely, and I mean, you know, he said he called it an absolutely disgusting performance of defense and immature basketball all the way through the game. So,
that's some serious ownership to take right there.
Well, that's what the coach said about the team. Now, that's not what Karl Anthony Towns said, but obviously, you know, Towns was pretty upset, you know, that they took the L. But like he said, he called it hero ball.
You know, that's got to be hard to hear about yourself. But you know what? Sometimes you have to get your feelings hurt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah.
That's what it's about.
You know, I want to make sure I get to ask you this question. I want to talk about the 12-team playoff that's coming next year. And
right. Super excited.
Yeah, but here's my question. Is it good or is it bad for football? And here's why I ask. You know, in the first few rounds, are we going to see blowouts? You know, do we think they're going to be all good games? You know, do you think that they're going to garner the kind of viewership that they should? Because, you know, you could end up with teams that are just so darn lopsided in those first couple of games that people just – they don't even want to see it.
That's all just going to be dictated by how those 12 teams are played up against each other.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like you said, there's going to be blowouts. It's going to happen.
Right.
But at least they have the shot, man. That's what it's about, is having the shot, in my mind. How many times have we watched the championship game, the national championship, and watched a blowout?
Yeah, that
happens there too.
I was going to say, we just saw that with the TCU Georgia.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We see it happen all the time. Why just watch one team get blown out when we can watch multiples? But it gives the opportunity for those teams that don't get the chance to actually have a chance at the dance, man.
Yeah.
Dang, let the dorky kid in. Come on now.
So I'm going to mention the OKC Dodgers. I talked about them earlier. You know, the OKC Dodgers are now the Oklahoma City Baseball Club. Why are they not the OKC Dodgers in a nutshell? Because the license is run out on the Dodgers name, and the Los Angeles Dodgers basically went for Oklahoma City to do what a lot of other places have. You know, you guys may have heard of the Biloxi Shuckers, or you may have heard of the Trash Pandas, or the Amarillo Sod Poodles, you know, the Macon Bacon from Georgia.
I'm sorry, did you say the Sod Poodles?
Yes, the Amarillo Sod Poodles.
Okay, the Trash Pandas are now, and maybe cannot be my favorite, Sod Poodles
the Sod
is great.
Poodles? Yeah,
the Grass Dogs?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, I love that so much. That's Sod so poodles. Cute.
Well, the Macon Bacon is from Georgia.
I don't care.
And it's a bacon.
That's not as fun.
It's a strip of bacon.
No, Sod Poodles is great.
Yeah, no, there's Sod Poodles, everything. I mean, there's just so many. And that kitschy, that that response that you just had is what Oklahoma City wants, and that's what the Dodgers want, is for Oklahoma City to be unique and not just utilize the Dodgers name.
Yeah, because that feels weird.
It does, right. Yeah. So this year is going to be some voting done to try to figure out what the new mascot, you know, what's the new name going to be, everything like that. While everybody tries to kind of, you know.
Needs to be something fun and quippy.
Exactly, yeah, right. Hopefully yeah. It's not like the Twisters or
that'd
something
be so
like
dumb.
That. Yeah,
that'd be
you know.
So dumb.
We want to see it be something very individual, and I don't mind talking about this because I no longer work for the Dodgers organization.
Yeah, like
I'm just
the
a
Trash
fan.
Pandas? That's great.
Oh, my goodness. The Rocket City. They're the Rocket City Trash Pandas.
That's amazing.
And
I love that
yes,
so much.
The raccoon is inside of the metal garbage can
flying
in the air.
I just love that on a level I can't explain.
Yes. Yep. Amarillo sod poodles. I actually I have some friends that work there.
So
and
cute.
Yeah, it's great. It's great. Let's talk about Trevor Lawrence. In one season in 2023, has had a high ankle sprain, a concussion, and a shoulder injury and a throwing shoulder. One is bad. Three is a nightmare, clearly. Pass blocking for the Jags went from one of the best units in 2022 to literally like one of the last, just worst in 2023. He needs to be protected. The front office has absolutely got to address it, and I hope that they do. And I'm just trying to speed through some things here. Deion Sanders and Colorado have self-reported for some recruiting and social media violations to the NCAA.
Yes.
You know, as slow as they are with anything, I guess, you know, it may be a while before anything happens to him. But
so does
he's
that
gonna
mean,
have
I'm
going to
throw this in here. I'm going to throw this in. Does Deion leave?
I don't think so. It's going to take a few years for those sanctions to take effect.
Does he leave before the sanctions take effect?
No, I don't think so.
He doesn't pull a Pete Carroll and a Jim Harbaugh and bail?
He still has to prove himself. I mean, honest to gosh, he still has to prove himself.
He got a whole lot of love for a team that was mediocre.
But he's going to need to prove himself before another Power 5 team is going to really want to take a chance on him. Yeah, that's my concern.
Right now. No, they're right now.
And I tell you what, at this point where we're at, this is about the point where we stop the show every week. We could keep going. You guys would probably love to keep listening, but we got to shut it down. I appreciate you guys. Cassie, you got anything that you want to add?
Not a whole lot. I'm excited for football today, though.
Yes, absolutely. I am totally fired
to
up. Make sure that you join us for Distracted Discussions. It's going to be a new episode of that dropping here today, Sunday. So make sure that you get out there, you listen to it on Spotify or Amazon Music, all major streaming outlets.
Make sure you like and subscribe and follow. That way you get notified every time a new podcast is dropped.
Yes, absolutely. Perfect. Awesome. Hey, don't forget about Sugar Llamas. Sugar Llama 12501 West on Southwestern, in Westmore, Oklahoma. Absolutely delicious. We love them. They're our favorite sponsor. And don't forget, if you get yourself the chance, you're on May. I forgot the address. I just want to make a shout out to Heisen's Burgers. Had one of the best cheeseburgers of my life last night.
The patty melts great.
Oh, man. Dude, I tell you what, that Oklahoma onion burger is hitting on something.
And I think
something.
It's Henson's.
Henson's. There you go, man. Well, my man Gary Henson, man, he's a great dude, and he'd be standing on his burger business. And
can I say, too, one thing I want to add about Henson's, man? They make the burgers fresh.
There you go.
And they actually season them.
Oh, see, I don't be playing around about that. See, I'm trying to get my food seasoned. I love me a good seasoned burger. Okay, listen, folks, thank you guys so much for being a part of it. Until next week, we will see you.